This is word of mouth from NHPR. Contrary to the buy now messaging of the season, kids are not looking only for instant gratification. Take Legos. In 2005, Lego Corporation came back from the brink by capitalizing on research showing that kids are inspired by the difficulty and process of mastering a complicated model. So rather than dumbing down to compete with the plug-in immediacy of video games, Lego ramped up the sophistication of its building blocks. Now the Denmark-based mega brand is hoping to draw in girls with pastel colors and long-haired lady Legos. Lego Corporation is the cover story of Bloomberg Businessweek this week, which speaks to its revival with tie-ins to movies, video games, and a thriving community of adult enthusiasts. We spoke with Jonathan Bender when his book, Lego, A Love Story, was first released. The book is now out for Nook. Bender explored how this passionate subculture breathed new life into the once struggling Lego Corporation.
They're a fascinating subculture of people. Lego estimates there are 20,000 adult fans throughout the world. Although to me, what's more interesting about the number is the number of bricks that each guy or girl has, where the average person on Earth has 62 bricks. But adult fans sometimes have collections in the numbers of hundreds of thousands or even millions of bricks.
Now, this is an international movement, but you attended a Lego convention in North Carolina. So Lego fans, they meet online, but they also physically congregate. Now, this was organized by the Lego Users Group, or LUGS. So what happens at these conventions?
The idea is you get everybody together who loves Lego, and you build together and you live together for a couple days and have a chance to basically experience summer camp as adults. So a group of 100 fans, in this case, took over a 10,000-square-foot ballroom to build everything from a giant octopus to a recreation of San Francisco, that then 8,000 members of the public came to see over Mother's Day weekend.
And it's all part of this Lego revival that you're charting. There was also the White Stripes video that was done entirely in Lego, Lego-themed video games, even a Lego exhibit at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. So what's behind this revival? Why the interest in Legos all of a sudden?
I think to some respects it speaks to the idea that this is the first generation of adult fans. So not only are they reconnecting with their own childhood, but many adults also have kids of their own. And they've suddenly discovered, while playing with Lego bricks again, that they can bring some really interesting adult perspectives and sensibilities to what they're building. So you don't have to be limited, as you were as a child, by the size of your collection, but instead can rack up a pretty healthy credit card bill, building whatever you want.
Now, adults have become a kind of vocal minority among Lego fans, but they've often chided the Lego Corporation in Denmark, based in Denmark, for its business decisions. Now, Lego, as a corporation, has actually managed to kind of tap into the creativity of these adult fans. How have they turned things around?
I think they've done a great job in terms of communication. There's a set known as brick structures, which are actual artistic renderings, scale models of current landmarks. So you can get the Sears Tower or the Guggenheim Museum. And that is a sense where it's a different set than what you typically might have seen when you were a child, because it's an actual recreation of something that exists.
We're also joined by Nathan Sawaya, known by many as the Brick Artist. When we spoke with him, his touring exhibit, The Art of the Brick, was about to open in Springfield, Massachusetts. Since then, his work has been shown in museums and corporate HQs from Arizona to Australia. But first, he spoke with us about the range of his works on display at the time.
You know, the idea is that, Lego artwork really appeals to the whole family. So there's a broad spectrum of work. Some are whimsical and some are a little deeper and make you think a little bit.
Now, Nathan, you also went through a dark age in your life. You played with Legos as a kid and discovered them only as a medium after college. What brought you back to Legos?
Well, I'd been sculpting out of more traditional media, and one day I just thought, what about this toy from my childhood? What could I create with that? So I kind of challenged myself to do a large-scale sculpture using just Lego bricks. And the reaction to that piece was amazing, and it encouraged me to do other pieces and eventually put on what is now 3 exhibitions that are crisscrossing North America. But because everyone can relate to the toy, they really relate to this art.
And you're making much of your income. You're making a living based on commissions for the most part?
Yeah, I actually used to be a Wall Street attorney doing a six-figure salary, and I left that all behind to pursue my artwork. And I make my living selling commissions of Lego art.
Any kind of overlap that you see here, Jonathan, between Lego fans and this DIY movement?
I think it is a really involved hobby in the sense that this isn't a group of collectors who are keeping things in mint condition, but by the nature of Lego bricks, you want to jump right into it. And Lego itself has tapped into that with a program called Design by Me, where you can digitally create your own version of a Lego set, which they will then send you the parts in real life to build.
Having finished the book, Jonathan, do you plan on staying active in this world of adult Lego fanatics?
Well, what's funny is if you had asked me at the beginning, I would have expected that this would have been a nice walk into memory lane and where I was as a child. But I'm finding that the world is much more complex than I expected, and I proudly call myself an adult fan now.
And Nathan, to you, what is the most spectacular thing you've ever seen built or built out of Lego?
Well, I suppose that's the next project I'm working on.
Which is?
I'll have to just wait and see.
The next great thing in Lego. So interesting. Do you share this information? Other artists kind of share techniques with you? Or is it a kind of closed off competitive world?
No, it is. It's pretty open. I mean, fellow artists have actually contacted me and said they are going to start working with Lego now that they see this happening. And I really believe like a Lego art movement is coming because the medium's so accessible.
Jonathan Bender is author of the book Lego, A Love Story. Nathan Sawaya is a Wall Street attorney turned professional Lego artist. You can find links to Jonathan's book and Nathan's work at our website, as well as Bloomberg Businessweek's article on the feminization of Legos. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org. Well, if artistic progress can be measured by controversy, by that standard, the Lego art movement has grown by many bricks since Bender's book came out in May of 2010. Master artist Mike Doyle recently wrote a screed against modified bricks on his blog, Snap. He claims that artists who mix in other materials are exploiting the general public's expectations that Lego creations are built on a set of fixed rules. He writes, materials like glue and tape break the nature of Lego's system build approach. Destroying bits, cutting, melting, etc., break the nature of the original bit. Painting pieces break the nature of Lego's system of colors. Stickers break the nature of the addictive properties of a build. That is, combining small things to describe the look of a thing. Well, to Doyle's questions, we ask, is it more creative to build inside or outside the block? Do strict parameters guide artists or restrict them? And while we're asking philosophical questions about a brand of toys, are the new Easter egg-colored Femme logos gender-exclusive or stereotypical and just weird? Clearly, our childhood pastimes are capable of inspiring strong opinions. So what do you think? Still buying Legos for yourself or the kids? If you're an artist, have you ever considered putting aside the paintbrush for a bag of blocks? Let us know with a comment on Facebook, on Twitter, or at our webpage, wordofmouthradio.org. Stay with us. Notes from a Maine kitchen author, Kathy Gunst, is going to talk about food, politics, lobster, stress-free, seasonal entertaining, and more. That's when Word of Mouth continues after the break. This is NHPR.